thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're turning again to God's Word. This is God's Word, His living, true, perfect, holy Word. Psalm 23, very familiar, hopefully not overly familiar, but we pray that God will speak to us through His living Word today. We've entitled this series, The Connected Life. Psalm 23, The Connected Life. Boy, we need to be connected. We are connected if we are Christians, but we need to stay connected, stay in step with our Good Shepherd. It's so easy to lose that vital connection with God. It really is, and become numb to the Spirit's voice and to His leading, to become insensitive to the voice of our Shepherd. And we don't want to do that. We want to stay with that living connection. So Psalm 23, The Connected Life. And this morning we're going to be looking at the connected life is a comforted life in verse 4. But I'd like to read the whole psalm. It's a psalm of David, the Lord, the Almighty One. He is my shepherd. Who's your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. God will never, ever lead you in a path of unrighteousness. Never. He only leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful, wonderful words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For because You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Knowing God and knowing that God knows us gives us the confidence to face what is yet unknown to us. Never, ever be hesitant or fearful or afraid to commit your life, to commit an unknown future to the known God. You may not know what the future holds. Few of us do. And if we did, we'd probably run a mile. God doesn't reveal everything to us. It's enough that He has revealed Himself to us. Is that enough for us this morning? That He has revealed and shown Himself to us to be the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd of the sheep. This morning I want to look at three things from this verse. Verse 4, God's pathway, God's presence, and God's provision. God's pathway, God's presence, God's provision. First, God's pathway. I wonder if you've noticed the sense of movement, of travel, of journey in Psalm 23. From verse 2, he makes me to lie down. So everything starts from rest. We saw that a few weeks ago. Everything starts from a place of rest. But it doesn't end there. He takes us on a journey. So he leads us, verse 2. He leads us, verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Verse 4, even though I walk. Verse 6, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The flock of God is not static. It's not stuck. Yes, there are essential times of rest and restoration and refreshment, but God's flock is on the move. He has called us to journey, and we are being led skillfully, perfectly, wonderfully led by the Lord, the Almighty Shepherd. Sometimes he leads us to green pastures. Other times it's still waters. Then through dark valleys. At times into the presence of our enemies. But always, always in the paths of righteousness, and always with a destination and a destiny in mind. And what is that? Higher ground. Higher ground. Whatever you are going through in your life, the Good Shepherd's purpose in it all. In it all, without hesitation, I say this, his purpose in it all is this higher ground. And here's the paradox, one of those paradoxes of the kingdom. To go higher, we have to go deeper. Now that doesn't make sense, but spiritually it does. Because God will take us sometimes to deep and dark places in order to take us higher. Because his purpose and his plan for us is always higher ground. Oh Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And notice as well in this verse, we've moved from the second person references of verses 2 and 3 in the He leads me, he makes me to lie down, and so on, to a more direct and intimate address to God, where David now turns and he says, you're in verses 4 and in 5. And it almost seems like the closer David gets to darkness and to danger of the enemies in the next verse, the more aware he becomes of the nearness of the shepherd. So now it's not he, but it's you. So he's getting to that place of darkness and where God will prepare a table for him in the presence of his enemies. And so now it's a more intimate talking, not only of the Lord, but talking to the Lord. He has the Lord, for the Lord has him. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice, David speaks of walking through the valley, not to the valley. That's not your destination. As the hymn writer says, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. The valley is not the final destination for the flock. They'll be led through the valley and onto higher ground, onto the rich summer pasture lands above. And I love that imagery, don't you? That pictorial imagery. And it's meant to paint this wonderful picture of a flock being led from the lowlands through the valleys and through those dark places, those ravines, where the sun doesn't shine and when there's shadows and what's going on here, there's danger of predators and so on. But the shepherd leads them because he's leading them higher. He's leading them beyond the lowlands to a place of verdant, rich pastures. Keep that picture in mind. Whatever you're going through, and if you're going through the dark valley, even at this moment, understand and know that's not your destination. But he's taking you somewhere. He's taking you to higher ground. The imagery is meant to keep our eyes on the prize, to encourage us to look beyond the shadowy realities of the present darkness. And to remind us that no matter how dark and how difficult the present may be, it's not permanent. It's not permanent. This too will pass. We get fed all day long, it seems, if you want to, 24/7 news broadcasts, and they have to say something. Have you noticed I'm not preaching the gospel? Have you noticed that? Yes, we need information. We need good information. We need right information. And we need to understand what's happening. But we don't need to be filled with fear. And we don't need to be filled with conjecture about the worst case scenarios at every turn. We need God's word. We need the truth. We need to understand that he is with us. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 8 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do you get that? Does that sound okay to you? Does it somehow compensate even a wee bit the troubles, the trials, the difficulties, the pain that you may be going through as a Christian? To know that in it all, God is working for you. He is using it all to achieve for us an eternal, glorious weight of blessing that far outweighs whatever it is we are facing. There's a choice in life, God's path or the devil's byway. What do you believe about trials and dark valleys? No, what do you really, really believe in your heart of hearts about them? Are they just random events? It's the stuff that happens to you, the difficulties, the trials, the very real issues. Is that just a random thing? God has no control over it. We just live in a fallen world and it might happen to you, may not. And maybe God gets caught by surprise at the trials and difficulties that we face. Or do you truly, really, absolutely settled it once and for all that God is sovereign? If you believe that, and if you can keep coming back to that and keep affirming that in your heart and in your mind, it will totally demolish a multitude of worries and fears and confusions that you experience in life. I guarantee it. To know that God is sovereign, and whatever my God ordains is right. It's right. Whatever he ordains. Now, have you settled that in your heart of hearts? Because if you haven't, you're going to be fearful. You're going to be afraid. You're not going to be a confident believer. You're going to be fretful at every turn. The Lord is truly sovereign. He is the Lord. He is our shepherd, your shepherd. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what best for you at all times, always. And he's working all things together for good to those who love him. Romans 8:28. He plans. He prepares. He allows things to happen that are beyond our ability to understand, as much as it is beyond the ability of the sheep to understand that the shepherd is taking them to a better place. And they don't understand that. But he's going to take them there anyway. And God is taking us to a place, even in this life, that is beyond your ability to understand right now, beyond your ability to comprehend right now. And even when we get beyond this life and we understand and think about the pasture lands above, have you ever contemplated heaven? Do you understand it? Do you know what it's going to be like a little bit? A little bit here, a little bit there. We haven't got a clue, have we? We just know. It's beyond our comprehension. And ultimately, that's where the Good Shepherd is leading us. Through this life, through his pathway, and on to greater things. God's pathway. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Have you ever noticed how in the darkness, things can appear to be something that they're not? Remember as a kid, and maybe you do as well, and maybe not even as a kid, as an adult, you're lying in bed and you're trying to drop off and you just open your eyes and you look up and it's a monster. It is. It's right there, over there in the corner. Just where you left your clothes over the chair, you slung them there just before you got into bed. Now all of a sudden there's a monster there. You can see the shape. Face, hands, claws. And as a kid, I don't know about you, but memories of this and thinking, oh dear. It's there. The thing. What will dispel that? If you can get the courage to stretch out your hand and turn on the light, it's your jeans and your jumper. Your jeans and your jumper. Even though we're walking through the valley and there's darkness and things can take on a shape and a perspective that look like something that they're not. And it depends, you see, what's in here. See, if I'm lying in bed as a kid and I shared a bed sometimes with my older brother, and there was a double bed and a single bed, and my brothers were there. Hey, listen, any amount of monsters could be floating about the room. I couldn't care because my two big brothers were with me. Presence makes all the difference in the world. It's amazing how presence can make all the monsters disappear. The comforted life, God's pathway, God's presence. He's with you. For you are with me. The Good Shepherd never abandons his sheep. David knows that. David knows that the Lord is completely committed to his sheep, just as he was to his sheep, even laying down his life for them, for sheep. David did that. His life was threatened by lions and bears, and he took them and he beat them and he killed them. That was the end of them. That's how faithful David was to his sheep. He would never abandon them. He wasn't a hired hand. And God's not a hired God. And God's not a hired hand either. He's the living, eternal King. Knowing that the Lord is with us makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Knowing that He's with us. Would you rather know that the Lord is with you or feel that the Lord is with you? Now, one or the other. Would you rather know or feel? We almost always want to feel. I can feel His presence, and I don't feel His presence, so therefore I'm afraid. So would you rather know or rather feel? A vague feeling based on emotions, or a firm, unshakable knowledge based on what God has said? What do you want? There's a great wee prophecy in Haggai. Haggai is a book that was written to encourage Christians there. And then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message and said, and this was it, "I am with you, declares the Lord." Full stop. End of quote. "I am with you," declares the Lord. That's it. I remember reading this many years ago as a young Christian, thinking to myself, is that it? Is that all that he said? That's not much of a prophecy. To be honest, that's what I said. "I am with you," declares the Lord. And what's the rest? What else is there? I've come to realize something in life. That if you know deep in your heart that the Lord is with you, that's all you need. That's all you need. That is all that you need. And how do we know that? We know that because He said it. And He continually says it and affirms it. "I'm with you." Now, for some of us, that really doesn't light our lights. To be absolutely honest, it doesn't light our lights. We're no sparks flying. "The Lord is with me. Ah, yeah, very good. Ha, well, move on." No. We don't understand, you see. This only becomes really precious to us when the monsters are there. This only becomes really precious to us and powerful when we are facing stuff that we need to know that He's with us. And it's in those times that our faith will show what we believe and what we don't believe. Some of you have been to some very dark places. The valley of the shadow of death has been long, dark, and deep. You've experienced, maybe even now are still experiencing, deep pain, disappointment, depression, loneliness, confusion, fear, anxiety. "I am with you," declares the Lord. "I'm with you." The presence of the Lord is precious, and it's powerful, and it's transforming. You know, as new parents, young parents, we used to lie on the bed beside Kyle's cot until he went to sleep. And when we thought he was sleeping, we would slowly get up and begin to creep out of the bedroom. And sometimes we'd stand on this creaky floorboard. And that was it. He was up like a flash, up on his cot, you know, like a meerkat. And there he was. "Where are you going? Where is it?" Well, he wouldn't speak in at that stage. He was a baby, but like, Don't you dare. Don't you dare go out of this room. Don't you dare leave me. It's presence, you see. Presence makes all the difference. It's a bit easier these days. There's no creaky floorboards in his bedroom. His presence. He's a faithful high priest. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities and our weakness and our pain. He was equipped in every way to be our faithful high priest by the life that he lived. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He walked our path. He knows what we are going through, not just in the theory, but experientially. In the last verse of Matthew 28:12-20 says, Jesus, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Finally, God's provision. God's provision. Your rod and your staff. They comfort me. God provides for us in a multitude of different ways, doesn't he? Ways that we don't even understand or realize or contemplate. He's always providing for us. And here David says that in the deepest and the darkest of valleys, he is comforted by two things. What did David have in mind when he spoke of the Lord's rod and his staff? And why did they bring him comfort? Well, having been a shepherd, David knew the vital importance of the rod and the staff for caring for the flock. The rod was used primarily to beat off and defeat predators. You know, a heavy kind of club-like instrument that a shepherd would have in his hand. So that's what it'd be for. And also to aid in the close examination of the sheep and to keep them in line as well. God, speaking to wayward Israel, says this, Ezekiel 20, verse 37. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of covenant. What does this mean to pass under the rod? Pass under God's rod. Essentially three things. To be selected, to be inspected, and to be separated. So coming under the rod of God is this, to be selected, to be identified as belonging to him, to be inspected, tried and tested, examined, looked over to test the health of the sheep, to look for wounds, disease, or parasites. You can apply that in any way you want. Selected, inspected, separated, numbered as one of the Lord's flock, chosen to be his and his alone. That's what the rod was used for. And here's the thing. We need to come under that rod as his sheep. There are many who refuse to come under the rod of God. They refuse authority. They refuse to submit to Scripture and even to under-shepherds, let alone God. There are many who refuse to come under the rod. They don't want to be selected, inspected, mostly inspected, or separated. They want to run with the goats. But there is, of course, a day coming when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats with his rod. And those who have rejected him will forever be rejected by him. My sheep hear my voice. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Are you willing to do that? To come under the rod of God? For him to inspect you? To try you. He knows your thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me, God, and lead me in the way everlasting. And the staff was mainly used to rescue his sheep. Sheep need to be rescued. And sometimes rescued from themselves, as well as other dangers that they get themselves into. And the staff is the equivalent to the shepherd's hook or crook. And the shepherd uses this to draw the sheep near, to hook them in. Sometimes we try to escape the presence of the shepherd. We don't want to be near the shepherd. We're enjoying our sin. Or maybe it's guilt, or maybe it's shame, or maybe whatever it may be. You need to thank God for his staff. Because he gets his staff, he'll hook you in when you don't really want to be hooked in. And he'll pull you closer to himself. Because even though you don't want to be closer to himself, because you've made wrong decisions, you know you need to be close to him. That's the only solution. To be close to him. To be inspected by him. Who'd have thought that two pieces of wood could mean so much? The rod and the staff. No one had any idea what two pieces of wood could mean for us. Lost sheep. Harassed and helpless. No one could have imagined what God had in mind when he selected two pieces of wood and made them into a cross. Two pieces of wood, one cross, the rod to beat off and defeat the predators of sin, of Satan, and of death. And Jesus conquered them all with the rod and the staff to rescue the lost sheep. Two pieces of wood, his rod and his staff, the cross of Christ, the ultimate comfort. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.